On this week's Nesson Patriots podcast, we discuss the reasons behind the Patriots' late season swoon, whether they can correct them in time for Saturday's matchup with the Buffalo Bills in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs, and whether Josh McDaniels or Jerod Mayo will land a head coaching job in this hiring cycle. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Nesson Patriots podcast. My name is Zach Cox, joined as always by Dakota Randall. The Patriots finished out the 2021 regular season on Sunday and continued what has been basically a long-standing trend for this Patriots team. They lost again in Miami, 33-24 to the Dolphins in week 18. It was their seventh loss in the last 9 years down in Miami. They also fell to 2-9 in Miami under Bill Belichick when playing there in December and January. I think pretty much all Patriots fans have kind of moved forward past this game, so we're not going to spend a ton of time dissecting it and dissecting exactly what went wrong for the Patriots down in Miami. But this game really was kind of a repeat of a performance that we've seen increasingly and troublingly frequently from this Patriots team over the last month. You can basically say that the three losses in the final four games that closed out the regular season for them have all followed a very similar script, with a slow start, with dumb penalties, with special teams errors, with the defense not being able to get off the field when they need to in the fourth quarter, with Mac Jones making mistakes and then leading a fourth quarter comeback that always seems to fail just a little bit short. And now the Patriots are going on the road in the wild card round of the playoffs. They'll be in Buffalo this Saturday night. And the big question to me is whether they can break out of this kind of destructive cycle that they've found themselves in. Dakota, coming out of this week 18 and going into this first playoff game, what's your kind of big picture thought on this Patriots team?
I mean, I got a lot of them. I would just say, you know, first of all, to give one thought on the Dolphins game, I just sort of my takeaway is, like, I just think maybe the Dolphins are better than the Patriots at this point. Like, I don't think that's a reach to say. Like you said, they're 2-7 in their last nine trips down there. Tua now is 3-0 against the Patriots in his career. Brian Flores, he got fired, but in his time with the Dolphins, he was 4-2 against Belichick. So when those kind of numbers and that record, it kind of all points in one direction. Like, I don't think it's a fluke. I just think over the past few years, the Dolphins have been a better team than the Patriots, despite the regular season record. So, I mean, that has to be concerning. And as far as going into the Bills game, I mean, I know we both have a lot of thoughts about it, but I think, you know, I was going to write about it later on this week that, you know, the one thing that I have a hard time seeing the Patriots get past is their inability, and it's been an issue all season, and it never sort of got reversed during the winning streak, is the defense can't get off the field in a big spot late in the game. And we saw it again in this game against the Dolphins. The Patriots defense had a chance to get off the field and give the ball back to the offense to potentially get a game-tying field goal or game-winning touchdown, and Tua scrambled for 11 yards. I mean, you could say Matthew Judon was held on the play, but ultimately the Patriots defense came up short again in a big spot. And just a, you know, quick list of how often it's happened this season: in week one against Miami, after the Damian Harris fumble, Patriots defense could have stopped them there, and instead the Dolphins ran out the clock. Against New Orleans, the Patriots actually pulled it to within 8 points, and then the Saints went on, I think it was like a 70-yard touchdown drive. Tampa, the defense couldn't stop them from getting a field goal to take the lead late in that game. Remember what happened against the Dallas Cowboys on, what was it, 3rd and 25, that horrible play. Indy, the Jonathan Taylor touchdown at the very end. Buffalo, the Patriots made it a 5-point game, I believe, in the rematch a couple weeks ago. Yep. And then, obviously, the Bills went on like a 13-play, 70-yard TD drive, and then just what happened against the Dolphins. So it's happened basically every time the Patriots have been in that spot this season. They've come up short. So it's hard for me to look at them going into the playoffs and think that they're suddenly going to flip the switch and be able to get those big stops on defense when they need to.
I think that's part of the problem too, with this slow start trend that they've been having, because the Patriots really just aren't a team that's built to come from behind or to erase any sort of significant deficit. I mean, they fell behind 20-0 to the Colts. They fell behind 17-7 to the Bills, and then it was 17-0 in this game against Miami the other day. The Patriots, that's just not, this isn't a team that is constructed to overcome those types of deficits. There are a lot of teams around the NFL that are constructed and really kind of almost have a strategy of kind of struggling early and then coming out and blowing doors in the second half. The Patriots just don't do that. I mean, I think it's really hard to evaluate or to kind of properly encapsulate Mac Jones over these last couple of weeks, because you look at all three of these losses and the fact that the Patriots have become competitive in all three of them is a positive sign for Mac Jones. It's encouraging the fact that they'll trail 20-0 and not lose 45-3. They'll end up losing that game 27-17. And then this game against the Dolphins was essentially a one score game because that final Miami touchdown came on a desperation blown play lateral type deal. So the fact that he's bringing them back in these games is good. It's positive, but he hasn't been able to complete any of those comebacks. And a lot of the reason why they find themselves in those holes to start with is because of mistakes that Mac Jones has made, especially in this game. I mean, it was the pick six on his first pass attempt. And then the fumble just outside of the red zone in the third quarter, those were just absolutely killer plays for the Patriots. And it kind of goes to, it's a lack of complementary football from the Patriots. I know the Patriots love to kind of preach complementary football, offense helping special teams, helping defense and vice versa. But you got mistakes by your quarterback and then you have your defense playing well for, it's usually like the start of the second half through like the middle of the fourth quarter, and then just not being able to get off the field when they need to. So it's really a long list of, it is complementary football, but it's every unit kind of combining to be a detriment to the other ones, which makes it a little bit difficult for them to kind of find a clear fix and a clear solution other than stop doing these things that are continuing to hurt you in these games.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we say the Patriots aren't built to play from behind, I mean, that's not necessarily a dig, because a lot of teams aren't. Like, because the problem is, you know, when you fall behind, you have to expend a lot of energy to come back in these games, and you know how it's hard for teams to hold up. And then, so maybe it's just, you know, the Patriots put all this effort into coming back in these games, and at the end of the game, the defense just is kind of worn out. It seems like an excuse to me, because ultimately it's one stop. You need one stop on these third down plays. So I got to believe the players can find it within them to get the stop. It's just kind of bad execution every time. But I do think it all kind of feeds into it. I mean, the Mac Jones struggling at the beginning of the games hasn't helped, but at the same time, I think the defense stopped the first Colts drive in that game, but then they gave up a touchdown on the next drive. And then they gave up a touchdown on the Bills' first drive. And then in this game, the Dolphins scored a touchdown on their first drive. So the defense is starting slow as well. It's not just Mac Jones. And, you know, again, we say rising tide raises all ships, but it goes the other way too. And I just think, you know, when the Patriots, when one unit is playing bad, it seems like all three are playing bad. And then when they come back, it's all three units are playing well at the same time. So again, it just comes down to consistency. And, you know, maybe they can flip that switch in the playoffs, because, you know, they showed the ability to during the winning streak.
And the Patriots clearly are capable of winning in Buffalo, which they did just, I think it was about five weeks ago at this point. This will be their third matchup against the Bills in a 6-week span, which I went back and looked this morning. That's only the second time that's happened in franchise history. The first one was against the Dolphins back in 1997. The fact that the Patriots were able to win that game in Buffalo in some unfavorable weather conditions, which we'll probably see again this week, differently unfavorable. It won't be quite as windy, but it's supposed to be extremely cold in this game. Certainly should give the Patriots confidence that they can do so again this week. But I wrote about this earlier today. It's been really kind of jarring to see how these two teams have changed just in their overall status since that game back in week 13, because coming out of that game, really the prevailing sentiment was that the Bills are done. They're toast. They're falling apart. Their players are fighting with reporters and press conferences. Their coach is really going out of his way for no real reason to argue that Bill Belichick didn't outcoach him in the game that he had just lost. They were bullied on the ground. They gave up 222 rushing yards when it was clear that the Patriots were going to run the ball on basically every play. They'd just been blown out by the Colts a couple weeks before. They'd lost the Jaguars 2 weeks before that. Everything was just really combining into what seemed to be a collapse for the Bills, and the Patriots were 7-game win streak, first place in the AFC. And since then, everything has just shifted. I mean, the Bills won 4 straight, or they lost to the Bucs the following week. Then they won 4 straight to rise up and grab that AFC's championship. And the Patriots, as we've mentioned, have just been completely out of sorts during the home stretch of the season, which for much of the Bill Belichick era is a time where they usually excel. This is typically one of the best December, January, late November teams in the NFL. And this year, and really the last couple of years, they've just have not been nearly as successful at this point of the season as they need to be and as they have been for so long. So it's just been really interesting to see the kind of flip in narratives between the Bills and the Patriots ever since that last trip up to Buffalo a couple weeks back.
Yeah, and to go off what you said about them not playing nearly as well at the end of the season as they had in years past, I looked it up. The Patriots are 6-10 after December 1st over the last 3 seasons, which is just kind of, it's just crazy to think about, because just that was the hallmark of the Brady years, was the exact opposite thing happening. So I don't know what that is. I don't know what the reason for that is, because that extends into Brady's final season too. A lot of the same players on defense. Maybe that has something to do with it, but I don't know. It's kind of puzzling, because you'd think that even if the Patriots are losing games, they would at least be playing. You can play good football and still lose, but it's been like bad football. Like some of those losses at the end of last season, you know, the home loss against the Bills is really ugly. The Texans loss is really bad. These losses, they've just not played good football at all. I'd have to go back and look at, see what the games looked like in 2019, but either way, it is jarring. As far as, you know, what's changed between the two teams, you know, I think the perception of them certainly has changed, and the expectations definitely has changed. And I mean, I think rightfully so. The Patriots are the 6th seed, so the only way they're going to host a playoff game is if the Steelers somehow make it to the AFC championship game. So you have to, it's just going to be harder for them to make it through the tournament now. But as far as like who these teams are, you know, I still, like, in a vacuum, I don't think, you know, and they know each other so well that I don't think much has changed just like in how good these teams actually are. I think it's still the same Patriots team that beat the Bills the first time. And I think, you know, if Patriots fans are looking for anything to be optimistic about, it's, you know, they beat them in the first game, and we talked about the weather, and maybe that could be a factor again this weekend. But also, I don't think the Patriots could possibly play any worse, especially on defense, than they did in the second game, and they still almost won. So, I mean, I don't think the players are looking at it that way, but just kind of looking at and assessing the Patriots' chances, like, they definitely have a chance in this game, because again, that performance at home against the Bills was so bad that they can't possibly play that poorly again.
Yeah, especially defensively. That was one of the worst defensive performances that we've really ever seen from a Bill Belichick coach Patriots team. That was the game where the Bills reached the red zone on every single one of their possessions that didn't end in a kneel down. They didn't punt once in the game. First time that's ever happened against a Belichick coach defense. And Josh Allen played really probably the best game of his career. I mean, I haven't watched every single Josh Allen game since he came into the league, but for him to have that kind of performance at Gillette Stadium on that stage in that type of kind of high leverage, high importance game from an AFC East perspective, it was pretty impressive from him. And I am skeptical that he will be able to do that again in this game. I still think Josh Allen is an extremely good quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But for him to be able to replicate that performance again in a playoff game where it's supposed to be 0 degrees, -5 degrees, I don't know. I don't think you're going to get as perfect of a Josh Allen as the Patriots saw back in week 16. And if you take a couple of ticks off of that performance, if the Patriots stop the Bills on one of those third downs or one of those fourth downs, because those are really the situations that killed the Pats in that game, you could be looking at a different outcome, because as you mentioned, as poorly as the Patriots played in that game, and they did play very poorly on both sides of the ball, that was also probably Mac Jones' worst game as a pro, and you had a lot of dumb penalties and just kind of poor discipline all around. It was still a 5-point game in the fourth quarter that the Patriots would have had a chance to win if they had stopped the Bills on that one final drive that we mentioned off the top that featured 2 third-and-10 conversions, a 4th-and-1 conversion, and a dropped interception. Any of those plays go the other way, and you could be looking at a different result. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen
in this game. He's going to have to be, he's not going to have to be perfect for the Bills to win, but I don't think if he comes out with a performance like he had in the first game against the Patriots, where again, it was 50 mile an hour winds. You can't really knock a passer too much for struggling in those conditions, but he also came out against the Falcons a couple of weeks later and threw three interceptions, only finished with about 120 passing yards. If you get that kind of Josh Allen performance, or even one that's tilted more toward that end of the spectrum, this is a game that the Patriots absolutely can and do have a very real chance of winning. So I think a lot of this is going to hinge on how they're able to defend Josh Allen and just prevent another performance like we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting how, you know, certain plays can swing the narratives of certain performances. Like, I mean, if J.C. Jackson comes up with that interception, that's a totally different conversation on that game for Josh Allen. We're not using words like perfect or best game of his career. And there was, I forget who it was, might have been Jackson, but there was another near interception earlier in that game.
Yeah, it was so, the one in the end zone, the one over his head, yeah.
Yep, that one. And so, I mean, couple of things go the Patriots' way. It's a different story. It almost reminded me of how in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, you know, Brady threw two interceptions and he almost threw a third that got negated by the offsides penalty. And if that offsides penalty doesn't happen, you know, we're talking about Brady throwing three picks and the Patriots losing. Instead, the narrative is that it's one of the signature, you know, tough clutch performances of his career. So just, you know, just all it takes is a play or two to change things. And, you know, one other quick sort of key, I think, for the Patriots in this game is I thought that early scramble that Josh Allen had, I think he ran for like 30 yards up the middle. Like Devon Godshall kind of got moved out of the way and Allen just went up the field for a huge gain. And it almost looked like watching it back, like the Patriots were spooked after that, that they didn't want to rush too far upfield or make any mistakes. And so they didn't generate any real pass rush the rest of the game. And I think they just played right into the hands of what the Bills wanted to do on offense. I think the Patriots got to go for it again in this game like they did in the first game up in Buffalo. Because if you let Josh Allen just stand back there all day, as we talked about, no secondary can cover that for that long. He's just going to pick the Patriots apart. So Matt Judon, someone who was not good down the stretch. We'll see about Christian Barmore if he plays. But, you know, Kyle Van Noy, just somehow, some way, the Patriots got to get pressure on Allen, because if they don't, it could be a long day.
Yeah, I think you saw a little bit too much cautiousness from the Patriots in that second Bills game. The play that really stood out to me was I think it was Allen's first touchdown. It was the one to McKenzie where it was a goal line type play. It was inside the 5-yard line and he just kind of bounced around in the pocket. The Patriots basically rushed one and a half. They sent four rushers, but three of them were just kind of standing around as sort of spy type players. It was clear that they weren't going to let Josh Allen run for the touchdown there. So he just said, okay, cool. I'll hang out here. I'll get the guy on that crossing route in the back of the end zone. And that's an easy touchdown. And then the kind of insult to injury with that was Josh Allen still did end up having a productive game as a rusher. I think he had something like, it was like 64 rushing yards in that game, converted a couple, a third down and a fourth down. So it was a situation where I think the Patriots sold out too far in one direction, and then their plan in that direction didn't end up working anyway. So it was definitely, I'm interested to see what kind of plan they draw up for this game, because this is a rare situation, at least for the Patriots. It's something that you don't usually see them playing a team three times in a season. And it kind of goes both ways. It's the Patriots are seeing Josh Allen for the third time. They've played against him something like 10 times in his career. So they should be able to have a better sense of what they can draw up to stop him. But on the same side, Josh Allen's been in the AFC East for several years now. He's played the Patriots a lot. He's seen probably most of what the Patriots have in their bag to defend him. So it's going to be a really interesting chess match to see how all of that plays out. Obviously the coordinators on both sides will be a factor in that as well. But again, I think Josh Allen and his performance is going to be the real kind of key to this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing that I think is interesting, just sort of talk about the Patriots playoff history, and I'm trying to look it up right now and I can't even see where it is, but the last time the Patriots were on the road for the wild card round, like I'm down into
1998, Scott Zolak. Yeah. Scott Zolak, Bledsoe was hurt. Scott Zolak lost in Jacksonville. Yeah, I looked that up the other day. That was the obviously 2 years before Belichick even arrived. So it's been a very, very long time. Patriots rarely play on wild card weekend as it is, but it's been a long, long time since they've had to finish the regular season, turn around, go right on the road the next week. And this week they're doing it on a short week too, because they're playing the Saturday night game. So it's, yeah, it's a situation they haven't faced in quite a while.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yep. Scott Zolak started that game 21 of 44. Robert Edwards played for the Patriots, had 28 rushing yards. Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor had 162 yards. But yeah, so that was the last wild card game. So, you know, not a spot the Patriots are used to being in. And it's, you know, I think ultimately, I mean, we can talk about the pass rush and Josh Allen and the defense and the running game and offensive lines and all that kind of stuff. And all that's fair. But ultimately, I think, you know, for the Patriots, this is about Mac Jones. Like, is he ready to sort of put those late season struggles behind him and have put on a good performance as a rookie quarterback? We just have no idea. And so I think that's just the big X factor in this game. If he has one of his better Mac Jones games, I think the Patriots absolutely are competitive in this game. I don't think the Bills are going to run away with it or anything. And so we're just going to have to find out, because we just have no evidence to go on. We don't have any reason to doubt him or to expect him to play well in this environment. We just have to wait and see.
Yeah, a big factor for me for the Patriots going into this is that two of their most important players, you could argue their two most important players, Mac Jones, Matt Judon, a lot of bad football from both of them down the stretch in the regular season during those final four games. Judon doesn't have a sack or a quarterback hit since the first Bills game way back in week 13. We've mentioned some of the turnover issues that Mac Jones has had lately over these last four games too. His completion percentage is 8 points lower than his full season long average. So there's been some good from Jones in that span. There was even some good from Jones in this Miami game. I liked a lot of the deep balls he was able to connect on in that second half, but the Patriots need their most important players to play like their best players in the playoffs. And that has not been the case so far. I think you're going to need a lot more from Mac Jones. You're going to need a lot more from Matt Judon, especially if they don't have Christian Barmore in this game. And I think those two guys are the two kind of key leaders here for the Patriots in this one.
Yeah. And I think one other player that I'd like to see something from, and I'm not like holding my breath on this by any means, but it's like, I thought this in both the Bills games that Jonnu Smith would be a player that could do well against the Bills defense. Like, I think the Bills linebackers are pretty slow. I just think it's the kind of defense that his speed and his athleticism would play really well against. But at this point, like, the Patriots have shown time and time again that they're just really not willing to give him that many looks in the offense. But, you know, maybe a lot. I mean, if you're going to bust out wrinkles or use some stuff that you've been keeping in the chest all season, now's the time to do it. I mean, also earlier in the season, the Patriots are doing a ton of trick plays when they clearly hadn't really figured things out on offense yet. You know, I would not be shocked at all if they bust one out in this game, if things aren't going their way. So that'll be another interesting thing that I want to see is, you know, what does Josh McDaniels draw up both at the start of the game and if the Patriots start to fall behind and need a spark.
Jonnu Smith had exactly half of Mac Jones' completions in the first game up in Buffalo. He had one.
Yeah, true.
And I think the other one went to Brandon Bolden maybe, but yeah, yep. Expecting a couple more pass attempts from Mac Jones this time around. And we'll see if Jonnu gets involved there. Real quick before we finish up, just some quick coaching carousel talk. The Black Monday happened yesterday in the NFL, the notorious day where you see the most head coaches fired. I think the big surprise to everybody, including us, was that Brian Flores was let go in Miami after three seasons, two seasons above 500, as you mentioned earlier, 4-2 record against Bill Belichick. Just really seems like things behind the scenes from an off-field, almost non-football perspective, just really didn't work out from him there. The Dolphins ended up sticking with general manager Chris Greer over Brian Flores. And that's a move that could have a lot of significant ramifications for the Patriots. For one, because it takes away a good, talented young coach who has had a lot of success against you, removes him from the division. The Patriots don't have to play Brian Flores twice each year going forward. There's also reports that Deshaun Watson was very interested in playing with Brian Flores. So obviously no Brian Flores in Miami decreases the chances of one of the NFL's best quarterbacks going to Miami. And wherever Brian Flores eventually lands, it will take away one potential landing spot from either Josh McDaniels or Gerard Mayo. Although I guess Miami opens up another potential landing spot for them if either one of them would like to go there. And who knows, if Brian Flores doesn't end up getting a head coaching job this cycle, maybe you see him come back to New England as a defensive coordinator or something. I think that's probably pretty unlikely, but there's definitely a chance of that there for sure.
Yeah, that was really surprising. You know, my sort of experience with this whole Black Monday is, you know, given that this is my first season on the beat, this is also the first time that I've ever really had Twitter notifications on this year.
Yeah,
I hate it. And, you know, I have Rappaport and Schefter and all the guys that break news on. And so this kind of week, you know, with just, it's constant with my phone going off with, you know, so-and-so is getting requested for an interview, this and that. And it just makes me fear for when free agency or something comes around that it's going to give me a headache.
Yeah. Make sure you keep the phone plugged in. It drains the battery pretty quickly.
Yeah. But on the one other thing on Flores and the Dolphins, you know, the idea of now Deshaun Watson not being interested in Miami is, you know, that's pure speculation. I think it's clear that he did want to play for Brian Flores, or that he had interest in that. We don't know yet if, you know, if Deshaun Watson's interest in the Dolphins leaves with Brian Flores. But you know, one name that they have that they did request an interview for, and there seems to be maybe at least some momentum, is Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Bills. I mean, listen, if he goes down there and they still find a way to get Deshaun Watson, I mean, that's worrisome for the Patriots too, because I mean, Brian Daboll clearly is not worried about coaching against the Patriots defense. He's kind of had their number here the last few seasons. If you give him another athletic quarterback, I think Deshaun Watson's better than Josh Allen. You give him a similar kind of quarterback down there. You know, they got Jalen Waddle. They have other nice pieces on offense. I mean, that's scary too. So, I mean, the Dolphins would still be a threat in that scenario, but we'll just have to see what they do.
And from a Patriots perspective, we just talked to Jerod Mayo and Josh McDaniels a couple minutes before we recorded this. Jerod Mayo confirmed that the Denver Broncos have requested to interview him. He said he absolutely intends on taking that interview. We'll see when that actually happens, because he stressed multiple times during his call that he is fully focused on the Bills right now. So maybe that's something that wouldn't happen until next week, potentially. We're not exactly sure on the timeline of that, but he did again stress that he is very interested in being an NFL head coach. And he definitely seems like he is a hot name in this year's hiring cycle. Josh McDaniels, meanwhile, though, has said he hasn't really heard anything about any potential head coaching openings or head coaching interests this year. I do know we haven't seen his name reported as someone who's received an interview request or anything like that. A little bit surprising given the success he had with Mac Jones this season and the interest he's generated in previous years. But perhaps Josh McDaniels isn't as enticing of a candidate this year as a lot of people thought he would be. Now, that certainly could change. That could pick up in the coming days or weeks. But so far, it seems like there is more interest in Mayo outside of New England than there is in McDaniels.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about it before starting this podcast. Maybe it's just the calculus has changed for McDaniels, in that he sees Mac Jones in New England. Maybe he knows something about Bill Belichick's future that we don't, in terms of a timeline for when Belichick, you know, might retire. So maybe he's just comfortable waiting it out. He's kind of reached the point now where he doesn't want to uplift his family. I mean, who knows? Could be any number of factors. That's just pure speculation. But, you know, I could see a scenario now where he's not in a rush to leave, whereas maybe he was once before.
It definitely has a pretty good setup here in New England between Mac Jones and the potential to replace Bill Belichick down the line. He's also very well paid in relation to many of his fellow coordinators, or at least he was when he signed his current deal. So we will see what happens with both him and Mayo in these next couple of weeks as NFL teams around the league fill these openings. But that will do it for this week's Nesson Patriots podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Zach Cox Nesson. You can follow Dakota at Dak Randall Nesson. You can tune into our Nesson pregame chat, which we will be recording on Saturday afternoon. It's an 8:15 kickoff in Buffalo. So expect that to come out sometime mid to late afternoon. And you can follow along with all of our Patriots coverage all week through this game and beyond on Nesson.com.